Who's ready to put pads on? Tone, good morning.
Hey.
They're going on today. They're going on today.
Yeah, there we go.
Time to run into each other. Even though the quarterback competition's probably already over.
Does seem like it, right?
Four-man competition's already over, Tone.
It seems like kind of crashed and burned for Kenny Pickett.
And well, not since, to his own doing,
yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, just this is...
According to Adam Schefter, not Adarn Schefter, Browns quarterback Kenny Pickett injured his hamstring near the end of Saturday's practice. He's expected to reevaluate the injury later this week, per sources. Pickett was coming off a strong couple of practices, per sources. And at least for the short term, there now will be more reps for Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders.
Yeah, which, it's inopportune time for him because he could, depending on, you know, how careful they're going to want to be with this. He might want to be with it. He might not want to be careful with it. But all eyes kind of focus on what the joint practices. And if he can't really go for the joint practices, that's it. He can't win that. He can't win the quarterback.
So I think the quarterback competition is probably solved. And I think, and don't take this the wrong way, this could be best for all parties involved. It could be best for him, and I mean that with Kenny Pickett, and it could be best for Browns fans, it could be best for the Browns, all parties involved. Because now, instead of Kenny Pickett, if Kenny can't go, then you go, okay, we're just going to do the common sense thing. We're going to give the job to start the season off to the 40-year-old veteran. He'll be able to play complimentary football. He'll be able to put us in a position where if there's a tight game, we could possibly win that football game. A guy who knows what he's doing, because we don't know what the running back room is going to really look like, because now you got this big whole issue that's going on. We heard Andrew Berry talk about that last week. There is a chance just to kind of settle down the boat and to get things going. Because if Kenny were to start the season and Kenny were to be rough, then I think that you'd have pitchforks, you'd have torches, you'd have a lot of people out there. I mean, they're going to be coming for you already, okay? I'm trying to stave off craziness. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stave off nut job stuff. Like, we'll have these Orlovsky clips coming up at 6:20. I don't know what the guy's trying to tell Nick and Jonathan in the afternoon. I thought that was kind of bizarre, but we'll play that coming up at 6:20. I'll let you decide for it, right? This was last week. But when I see that Kenny Pickett got hurt, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I wanted him to get a fair shot if he's going to have a fair shot at it, because he is one of the two veterans there. I didn't want to force the hand with Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders. I think I've been very clear about that. I would have went with the guy that the guys already had trusted, they had already had experience before with, and Joe Flacco. And I think that the fan base would probably be in a lot of ways the same way. Now, Joe Flacco could go out there and suck up the room really badly, and then people are going to be wanting a different quarterback out there. But I didn't want it to start off the season with anybody else, because it's, again, I think it calms down the veterans' tone. I think it certainly calms down the fan base a little bit, where you have this guy that people know. Why wouldn't you put the guy out to start off the season that people know to try to get off on the best footing in a tough part of your schedule?
Yeah, I just think the biggest focus here is that they were wasting time trying to figure out, and it was going to be an impossible evaluation process to go in with four quarterbacks. That was a bad process.
Yeah.
And just by virtue of, unfortunately for Kenny Pickett, and we apologize to his family members that have been dialed into our show and tweeting and blocking certain listeners of the show and fans.
I didn't want to get hurt. Good God.
Yeah, nobody. We wanted somebody to emerge. We didn't want anybody to necessarily win jobs because of injuries, but there's no way I could see them starting Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders week one.
But if
that was just never going to happen. So it was only going to be Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco. And now Kenny Pickett can't take part in this process. He's going to miss at least, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Probably, yeah.
Right. And that's just at least. So there's no way he can be a part of the joint practices in those scenarios. And if he's not going to be a part of those where everything is live, guys are wearing, you know, full pads, there's tackling, there's sacking, there's coming after the quarterback, this is over. Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback week one against the Cincinnati Bengals, and now the competition is between Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders.
Well, how bad, because if it's that bad, you could put him on short-term IR, if it's that bad. Like, if he's, again, because you're trying to get four guys who are the quarterbacks on the roster, because everybody can see a scenario. Now people are starting to see a scenario where, hey, you could put four quarterbacks on the roster, which, I don't know, you and I have been saying that there's definitely a possibility about that since when? Since the draft, since they drafted the other two guys. So there's certainly a possibility there. But now you go into the season, okay, if Kenny is that injured, I don't need to rush anything with Kenny Pickett. We don't need to rush anything, right? No, no. Because Dylan Gabriel, from everything that they're saying, from the, what was the quote from the shoulders up, he's a first round, he's a first overall pick.
Kenny Pickett's not good enough to be rushing him back to like save a season.
Exactly, but you don't want to put him in a bad spot. I mean, you're talking about trying to save a career, let alone save a season when it comes to Kenny Pickett. So you have a guy here who, I don't want to rush anything. So how I would do it right now is I would take Joe Flacco, Joe's the starter. Then I would look at what Kenny Pickett is, and if Kenny Pickett is still hurt, do not rush this thing back. We ain't getting rid of you. We traded for you. There's no reason to get rid of you. I don't think your job's in any question. If there's anything to do, it would be on short-term IR, and we'll see you at the end of the first month of the season. That's what I would. That's where I would put it at. So then it becomes a Joe Flacco, 6'6", big, not lumbering guy. He's a little bit more athletic than we give him credit for, but he's 40 years old, for crying out loud. You go from him to probably Dylan Gabriel. And they say Dylan's smart. Dylan's got all the intangibles of what you would want to know with an offense. It's just he's 5'10". So that you go from 6'6 to 5'10", different set of skills. Could you really do that? Shador, you get a little bit more time to get this thing figured out, and that's where you go. And if Kenny comes back, if Kenny comes back before the start of the season, you still put him in as a backup and you carry four quarterbacks. If Kenny is still hurt, because it's a hamstring, so we'll see how long that takes to actually get fixed. If Kenny's still hurt and you want a guy like that because he has wheels, so you want him to be at full strength. If Kenny comes back and he's still touchy on the hamstring, hey, just give it time. I got time with Kenny because I don't want to put him out there if he's not able to defend himself and he's not able to conduct the offense the right way because he's still nursing an injury. So I don't know the severity of the injury. We'll find out, I'm sure, more today. But it clears a lot of things up. In an unfortunate way, it clears a lot of things up. But then I have my succession plan right after Joe. I give the job to Joe, and then I see where it is from any. Unless people can give me an argument on Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, week one.
Well, and I'm sure there are people who would be trying to give us an argument because I saw it on social media. I mean, what? Shador Sanders had a couple of really nice throws on Saturday, last time they were together. He's going up against the threes and the fours, you know?
Stat charting that's went on over the last few days of completions and attempts and all that has become a new level of Browns training camp that I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah. Now I wonder what percentage of fans are truly putting stock into that, or they're using them as kind of, all right, this is kind of funny that we're doing this at all.
And none of the stats say which group of defense they're going against. And sometimes it's against air.
Yeah. And I watched some of these reps with Shador. Like if Myles Garrett was on the field, the play would have been over already. Like right. that's just a reality. Like it's very different going up against the starters than it is. With that said, Shador Sanders, those are the best passes I saw. Yeah. And the people that were at camp, you know, watching this religiously, they're like, oh yeah, he had the nicest throws. Do you think anybody is seriously, like, not, hey, I'm a fan, and Shador obviously is, you know, this exciting story.
Yeah.
I don't think it's nearly the story of training camp. Like, people were trying. Has anybody, where's the national media even been? Have they even been really following the Browns?
It's going to be, they'll be in town this week. So we will find out. The Shador Sanders business is about to pick up.
I do think it's been proven that was grossly overrated. Shador Sanders is not the story. He's not a circus. He's not a distraction. He's also not a story.
Well, when teams weren't practicing, Well, when teams weren't practicing, then he was one of the bigger conversation pieces because of
for
what
OTAs
had happened during the offseason.
Or rookie minicamp. Yeah.
But now that teams are practicing around the NFL, they're
cares.
Going around the tour.
I'm not really seeing much in the way.
But I think by Friday you might change your mind because the media is going to be in town. Hall of Fame weekend, all the other stuff. That means that all the national people are going to be in town. They're going to be in town to see number 12. I mean, they'll talk a little bit to Joe Flacco and Myles Garrett and maybe a little bit of Denzel, even though Denzel is not the most boisterous person in the world. Maybe a couple of other people, but they're in town to see the Hall of Famers and they're in town to see Shador Sanders. So I don't know if I want to subscribe to that just now that he's not a big story. If he's going out there, because I'll tell you
Do you think it'll be a big story when they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, Kenny Pickett's injured, but in reality, Shador's fourth string. Do you think that will be...
Honestly,
is that a story people care about all that much?
I think by the end of the week, it's on Shador. If they go out there and he throws the way I heard of him throwing this last week.
Week or day?
Week.
Okay,
I'll say week.
I really just heard,
saw a couple of days, I say week. Fine. Yeah. So if he goes and he throws like he did last week, day, whatever. If he throws like that, I think a lot of people are going to be here, and they look at it from 30,000 feet.
Even if it's against threes and fours, not Myles Garrett, not going up against.
I mean, again, you got football people that you trust going, why are you wasting your time with these old guys? What are you doing wasting your time with them?
Sure.
Put the rookies in there.
We've asked that question before.
If they see Shador Sanders, they're going to look at that. I guarantee you that somebody's going to come away. This probably won't pay off till next Monday. Somebody with a name will come away with this. If he throws well, somebody will come away from camp, their time at Browns camp, going, he looked good. He was supposed to be a first-round pick to a lot of people. He fell all the way to the fifth-round pick. Maybe he got a steal. You guys ain't going anywhere anyway. What's the point? You might as well play Shador Sanders. If he throws as well as what he was throwing last week, yeah, somebody's going to do it. So I'm going to disagree with you because I want to let the national media come in.
So you want them?
See
you
what
want
they say.
Them. It sounds like Ken Carman. Ken Carman is more excited by the notion of the Emmanuel Achos of the world coming in and saying,
"I don't know
the
if
fact
he has
that the Browns are not
right now,
starting
buddy.
Shador Sanders.
I don't know if he's coming to town.
That gives him more free time to come to Browns camp. Are you kidding me? So because I don't think Fox Sports is going to be setting out an encampment
here.
Still
got six open dates.
So I do think it sounds like there's an excitement in your voice that maybe the national media can create a stir over this.
There's not. Why do you do this? We've been back for 15 minutes and now you're doing this. If I was saying I was excited about it, I was saying I was excited.
So you think it would come as a detriment if they did that?
No, I don't think it's a detriment.
What is the Ken Carman opinion on whether or not the national story of Shador Sanders?
You said it wasn't going to be a big deal, and I said no, wait until the end of the week. I think some people are going to make it a big damn deal.
So I misread it. You didn't really care either way if it was a big deal. I'm just trying to make sure I've got Ken Carman right here.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to get the opinion out of Ken Carman on whether or not the Shador mania is A, going to happen, and B, whether it serves them well or
hurts them. I don't know
them.
If it's going to happen. I said okay. I could see it. Did I or did I not? Owen said I could see a scenario where at the end of the week, you have national media in town, and they see Shador throw any bit like he did last week, and they go, well, this is, what are you guys doing wasting your time with all these other guys?
I stopped listening once your face got so red.
Well, because he's putting words in my mouth already.
No, you did say this might not pay off until next week, until next Monday.
Yes.
And believe me, I've got it right here. I'm ready. I'm marked and ready to go. It might not pay off until next Monday once everybody rolls through.
Do you really not believe that the writers and the pundits and people who come to town this week,
I think the grifters are going to make an argument always, because I've seen it already.
What if Baldy comes to town
but
and says
those,
it?
Well, okay.
What if Baldy,
right. Right.
Make a media list of the people listen to say that he should be the starter and see whether or not it's
difference.
Legitimate.
So like Jeremy Fowler, right? He's not a big opinion giver. He's just a reporter. But if Jeremy Fowler comes into town and does all his hits on SportsCenter and then goes on and helps out the First Take crew or whatever. I don't even know who's in position anymore. There's been so much of a shakeup on all the networks. But if Jeremy Fowler comes in and says, I talked to the Browns this week. I talked to some players in that locker room, and they want Shador to be given a legitimate shot. Okay, that changes it. I'm not really hearing much of that right now. I'm hearing Shador on one of the worst teams in football is fourth string and made some nice throws the other day. That's all I'm really... against threes and fours. That's all I've really seen so far. So it has been a far cry from Mike Greenberg a month ago saying Shador Sanders in Cleveland's the biggest story of the offseason.
Call Mike Greenberg
a grifter. It has been so far from it hasn't even been one of the biggest stories in Browns camp. He's been fourth string.
Call him Mike Greenberg a grifter.
No, that's the thing. He's not, but
I need a list of grifters by the end of the week here from you.
I do think some people were trying to stir up some stuff a month ago when it was a dead season in the NFL. And it has. It's been one of the deadest off seasons I can remember.
Absolutely true. I mean, if you're going to put me on the spot, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want a grifter list by Wednesday.
The grifter list.
Yes. I think at 7:45, we're going to play grifter or gold miner.
216.
We'll list them off.
Kevin Stefanski came out, Andy, at the beginning of camp and said, we have a four-day block here. Then we're off on Sunday, and then we'll refigure things and see what we do quarterback-wise with reps and who gets snaps and everything else. And then on Saturday, hamstring situation for Kenny Pickett. And we find out about that yesterday. And we'll see how severe it is, how severe it isn't moving forward. The one thing we do know, if you tweak your hamstring and you don't let it heal, you're prone to really messing up your hamstring and being out a significant period of time. So just knowing that about hamstring injuries, I would assume we don't see Kenny Pickett this week. And best case scenario, maybe we see him next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm just spitballing this.
Sure.
That I would assume that he misses some time. If he misses significant time, Andy, that changes a lot of things.
Look, this is why you have four guys here in the first place. Because you know that you're trying to find the guy that's going to be your quarterback. And you're taking a bunch of darts. You're throwing them at a dartboard. And you're saying, okay, well, this guy's going to be the bullseye. And he's going to be the starter. If Joe Flacco had a little bit of an edge, he's got a chance to have a giant edge this week. Because, you know, again, you can't make the club from the tub. It's not like they're going to cut him. I don't think they would. But they find themselves in a position where Flacco, I would assume, is going to get more reps. Dylan Gabriel looks like he's in a great position to get more reps.
Ding, ding,
and
ding.
I also think that Shadur, I mean, why wouldn't you give Shadur the opportunity to take some first-team reps this week? I mean, this is the perfect time to do it. What do you have to lose? I don't understand why you wouldn't. I really don't. I mean,
I can give you a thought what you might have to lose.
Okay, well, let's just say you're giving Joe 50% of the snaps. And I do think we're making way too big of a deal out of this. Say you give Joe 50% of the snaps, you give Dylan 40%, and now you can give Shadur 10. Because he was getting zero prior to this, so why not? I'll
tell you why not.
Okay, I'm listening.
Because if they don't think he's ready, why would you give him snaps?
Because at some point he's going to have to be ready.
Not necessarily. And if you're,
I mean, they don't have a pressing game plan, right? Are we? We're worried about week one. We're worried about the Bengals. Are we installing the Bengals right? No. We're trying to figure out who's going to be on this team, and so I don't feel like that pressing need for week one and a game plan for week one is there right now. I can't think of a better time to give a rookie a little bit more time when you've got a veteran that's hurt. And now you've got the opportunity to do that. Your veteran can still get their work in. Your up-and-comer, if you want to put Dylan Gabriel in that spot, and then just give the guy a little bit of work.
I think the guy who can benefit from this situation the most is Dylan Gabriel. I would assume, based on everything we've been told and all the perception of what this is, I would think first and foremost that he's ahead of Shadur right now, which to me means that's the guy who we're going to see an uptick in reps and maybe gives him a chance to show some things that he might not have had a chance to show. Yeah, I would agree. The fight was between Flacco and Pickett to be the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So with Pickett losing those opportunities right now, I think they go to Dylan Gabriel. I would think they would. If they don't, that means that Shadur has shown them that he deserves to maybe be in there rather than the downplaying that we've kind of seen so far. But I think Gabriel has a chance now to jump on something, take advantage of some things, and maybe work his way into the conversation of being an early season starter. I would assume, Andy, if Pickett's out any length of time, Flacco starts week one. And if he's not out more than a week, or if he's out, you know, just this week, maybe reevaluated and everything's fine,
mm-hmm.
and he's back to it next week, then I think it's back to Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. But I think if he misses more than a week, it would almost scream to me that Flacco is going to be the starter.
I could have made the argument Flacco was the starter from day one.
Yeah, I know.
So it's not.
I know.
Not playing is not helping Kenny Pickett. But he's got to heal. And if you think you're going to keep him on the roster for the entire season anyway, because he'd be an expensive training camp quarterback. So you have to assume that he'll be with you at some point. Let him get healthy. Again, we're not playing a game this week. Are we? There's no game this week. It's next weekend. So
that would be correct.
So I there's no game this week. So,
but with that hamstring situation, if it's not like really minor, and he could be out, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. And if that's the case, then, you know, I would think that
get him healthy. Then again, we're in preseason. None of these games count until you have to make that roster decision. And we don't have a quarterback right now. And if we do,
oh, no,
it's
we
Flacco.
Have a bunch of them.
We really don't. We don't have a quarterback till they start pulling up stats in the beginning of the season.
Really?
I don't think there's a – is there a hurry? Because I know that Kevin had said, look, we'd like to have our quarterback decided earlier than later, which is fair. You want to get ready for the first game of the season. If you're sitting here with four quarterbacks, you're not truly getting ready, and that's why I think now is the perfect time to throw the rookies out there and let them get some work. You know what Joe is. I mean, Joe's not surprising anybody. The reason you want Joe to get these reps now is to just get accustomed to the guys that weren't on the roster when he was here before. And let's face it, last time he was here, he had great success without being here in the beginning of the season. So let's give him the opportunity to go out there and try to gather some rhythm with some of the wide receivers and the tight ends and just, you know, get the ability to feel the flow. And then, you know, hope he stays healthy in the beginning of the year. This is why you have to have two quarterbacks on the team. There's just no question.
Well, of course.
No, but I mean, like, two quarterbacks that can play.
Well, of course. Doesn't mean we've had them here in the past, but no. Yeah, of course. That's the deal. I just, to me, as a guy who was hoping to see Pickett win this job, this is the most discouraging injury that you could have had at the quarterback spot. The guy's not out for the season, obviously, might not be out long term. But I think it certainly changes the dynamic of the competition, do you not?
Yeah, I'm just curious why, and I'm not, I can be honest, I don't really care which one of these four quarterbacks starts. I don't.
I want the best guy to start, but I want the best guy to be Pickett or Gabriel.
I want to have a chance to win in some of these games, and so I don't care who it is. I don't want to sit here. I said this the other day. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I don't want to play the season out with it being over the first week of the year. I want to have a chance to be able to play in the postseason, whether they were able to do it there or not. I just want a chance. Do I think it's realistic? Probably not, because I know what the rest of the NFL looks like. But I don't want to have the entire season ripped away from me in September.
No, of course not.
It could, but that schedule, and I know some people argue with me on this too, but that schedule leans towards this thing could be over real quick. And I don't want to walk down that road. I mean, I just don't want to be a part of that. So give me the guy that can go out there, give me an opportunity to win, and if the defense can hang me in and give me a chance to win these games, then, man, it's going to be exciting. It may not be spectacular or fun to watch all the time, but just give me a chance every week. Please don't get embarrassed.
I actually, with Pickett out, and again, I certainly wish he was there because I think he's as intriguing as anybody else there, and I've been kind of pulling for him, not personally, but just where he is in his career and everything else to be the guy this year. And we've had a lot of people say things that they like him and everything else as they've, you know, as he's gone about this thing. But I think that this could lead to, Andy, one of the most informative weeks. And of course they just got started, but I think this could be a really informative week in Berea because we're going to see, We'll see more of Shadur than we probably were going to.
So do you agree you'd get him some reps this week?
Other than
the fourth team?
Not necessarily, Andy. It truly is, what do they... They already have an idea in mind. Is he a guy that you should sit for an entire year, or do you think he can compete for you this year? And if you think he can compete for you this year, then you give him some first-team reps, and if you think he's developmental, then you don't. You don't waste those first-team reps on him right now. And only Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry know that right now, and Bill Musgrave. I mean, they know what they think of him right now and what their plan might be, as in, yep, long term, or we think he can play this year. So, and other people think he can play this year. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that the two guys I'm most intrigued by in camp at that position, one is now out with a hamstring, and the other is the 5'11 guy taken in the third round. And I think this could be Dylan Gabriel's chance to go out and show you might want to rethink one of those veterans being your starting quarterback. I don't see Gabriel starting week one, but I think he can put himself in a position that if it doesn't go well early on for one of these guys, that he's in there right away. You know, last week I asked you, which quarterback on this team do you see starting the most games this year? You surprised me with your answer. Because it was the same one that I had.
Because I think it'll be Gabriel midway through the season. Yeah.
And that's what I think, too. But you surprised me with your answer.
Well, I I don't see a reason to not get, if you think, okay, so let's go back to this basic quarterback philosophy that you draft a quarterback, and I don't really care where what round they were drafting in, but you draft a quarterback and you have a veteran on the roster who's already there. Isn't the thought process, because I think we rush these quarterbacks out way too quick. And when you take them in the first round, you're either saying fail or succeed in that first season for the most part. And we've had too many episodes of failure in that. So if you're bringing in a quarterback to be developmental, let's say Shador is developmental. I think we can all agree on that because he was drafted where he was drafted, it's easy to put him in that developmental spot. Well, when are you going to give him a chance to develop? When's a better time? At some point, you have to let him start to develop. Again, I'm not saying give him all the first-team reps this week. I'm not saying give him the second amount of reps this week at camp. But what I am saying is what harm does it do, other than cause a little bit of drama, to give him a couple reps this week? If you know your number two quarterback or number one quarterback, depending on how you want to look at Pickett, is out for a week, you need to be prepared, because what happens if another quarterback goes down? Then now for sure you better get him some reps. So what's the difference? Get him 5-10 reps. Again, this is practice, folks. This is not a game, and you need to have these guys ready. And I keep thinking back to DTR and what a great preseason, and they gave him the opportunity to do some stuff, and he was even higher on the depth chart. But when he had the opportunity to go out there against the Ravens and just fell on his feet, it set the tone for the rest of his career. I don't want to see a guy get in that position again. When they put someone under center, they need to be ready, or they need to put them in some kind of package where they can't have absolute nuclear destruction when they hit the field.
Every time we're out in camp too, it's just always a good time to catch up with him. And I don't know, I'm trying to think of unique questions, like things that he hasn't been asked a million times. It's getting kind of tough. Like we've had so many years of Kevin Stefanski. We kind of know everything about him at this point.
All right. So we can't do like the Andrew Berry presser. I felt like by the time they had so many questions for Andrew, that by the time they got to Kevin, they were just questioned out.
Mm-hmm.
We do, like, if we have a guest before Kevin, we can't get ourselves questioned out. We got to save some good ones for Kevin. Because I think Kevin, I don't know if they set it up that way, but I've noticed if Andrew goes first, it gives people so much time, like 40 minutes at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going from like 40 minutes of Andrew interview to like 30 of Kevin, it's a lot of work.
Well, here's what I can promise you. We'll have Shador Sanders questions. Shador Sanders questions.
I thought so. So about 35 minutes from now, the trade deadline will have passed.
So what do you think about driving?
Continued.
Are you a speed limit guy?
Yeah. Do you think the speeding tickets were not smart? What do you think there? Because I heard somebody in the organization say that. How do you feel about that?
What are your thoughts on tickets? I don't know. You tell me.
I think you just started with why are you sandbagging Shador?
Oh, I really think, go for the gusto.
Right? I mean, just high and inside. Yeah, that's where I'd go with it if I were you.
Why are you sandbagging him? Yeah. Why does it feel like you're not giving him a fair shake here, Kevin?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah, like, but you got to say, like, if I were coach, I'd be all over this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like you are. Do you not want to be here, Kevin?
Yeah, it's going to go over great. Yeah, all these questions come in Kevin's way.
So we are still waiting to see if Stephen Kwan is going to get moved. A lot of scuttlebutt out there that it is getting increasingly less likely that Kwan will be traded. But as we await Mike Golic Jr. here, we did get into the conversation about Dylan Gabriel early. And have you come around to the idea that there's a decent chance that he'll start week one and that there's a decent chance no shot in hell Shador's going to start week one?
I still don't even know it's a decent chance for Dylan Gabriel. Like, I know you told me to brace myself, and I'm trying to, but I don't see it as reality. I think one of the veterans are going to be the starter out of the gate, and then I think you're going to go to the rookies after that. Now, I do think it's interesting, and I don't think we've spent nearly enough time on the idea that Jimmy Haslam himself was like, hey, I want both rookies to play, and Kevin knows that I want both rookies to play. So at some point, I do expect to see both rookies to play if that's what the owner wants.
Yeah, I think I've described the Browns quarterback situation, and not just that, the approach to 2025, as you're trying to thread two needles with different threads at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of those, meaning like you're trying to win until you're not, You're trying to give the locker room every chance they can to surprise people until it becomes about development. While also, you're playing a lot of young guys, and you're not, you know, when guys are getting injured, you're not backfilling them with veteran players because this is kind of a let's see how it plays out kind of year. A lot of that is antithetical to itself. Like, developing players and winning games for a lot of teams are not the same thing. Oh, and by the way, you get a lot of guys who are on big contracts who are trying to play for the next contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. So there's so many angles to this that's wild, but with a quarterback situation, like we played the Jake Vulnik sound where he basically, without putting our names on it, called us out for being unfair to Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
The only reason I'd want Dylan Gabriel to start week one is the idea of that I might there would be enough time to see both quarterbacks and to have some sort of informed decision one way or another whether either of those guys should be part of that quarterback room or whether you should just take a quarterback next year.
So I heard Nick Wright describe it this way, and I want to see if you agree with it or not, because I agree with Nick when he laid this out. Nick has not been in Shedeur Sanders' camp at all. In fact, I would say during the pre-draft process, he was one of the people that was about as harsh on Shedeur as it gets. But the way he looked at it was simple. He said Joe Flacco's got a 0.0% chance of being the franchise quarterback for the Browns. Is that fair?
Yeah.
He said Kenny Pickett's got a 0.0% chance of being the franchise quarterback for the Browns. Is that fair as well?
I'd pay a 0.1% chance.
You're giving him the 0.1. Okay, because yeah. Nick was like 0.0. Yeah. And I watched him play in Pittsburgh. It's never going to happen. And I would honestly, I would slide maybe with you with a 0.1 as opposed to 0.0. And then he brought
Dylan, give him a chance.
Then he brought Dylan Gabriel in the mix. And he said, Dylan Gabriel, 0.0% chance of him being the franchise quarterback. Do you agree with that?
Dylan?
Yeah.
0.0?
He said 0.0. No, he said flat out not going to happen.
I think that
happen.
Would be unfair.
We're talking actual franchise quarterback here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give a 5% margin of error for a kid that I could be wrong on.
Okay, because then when it got to Shedeur, he said Shedeur has somewhere between a 5 to 10% chance of him actually materializing into the franchise quarterback, and that's why ultimately he should have a leg up on the other three quarterbacks. When you think about the idea of who could become a franchise quarterback out of this group, Shedeur, in his mind, was the only one that even came into the conversation, even if it's a low percentage chance of happening, from 5 to 10%.
So the only thing that I would say push back on is I don't think Joe has any chance to be the long-term starting quarterback.
It's just because of his age. That's,
but,
it's not a
skill
thing. It's an age thing.
But do I think Joe could put up numbers similar to what he did 2 years ago? Yeah, in the right context. If all the ifs went right, I think Joe could have a really nice season, and we could be more competitive than people think. I still think it's only 7 to 8 wins because this team is not that team.
Right, but then yeah, it still gets rid of the whole goal. The whole goal of what this season should be in many ways, if it's not to just lose as many games as possible to be in the running for a quarterback next year, it's trying to figure out if any of these guys can be your franchise guy.
Well, if they don't see the field, because this is where I will do a devil's advocate for a real quick second here. If they don't see the field, don't you have your answer?
Well, you never give him a chance. You'd have your answer because Stefanski decided that they weren't good enough in practice.
Yeah, I mean, well, fair. But I mean, I think the point would be, well, if they're not good enough to earn that chance, whether you think Kevin's giving them a real chance or not, if they're not good enough to earn that chance, then just go take a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not.
And listen, if
I guess I'm not having a hard time following. I'm sorry.
So I think my point is, like, I don't think this season's just about can you find a franchise quarterback. That might be what it becomes.
So, okay, so that's interesting because that's like how Nick phrased it was the idea that when you have a season like it's projected to be and how it's set up to be, the really the only goal the Browns should have for right now and until they do find a franchise quarterback is that. Like, that should be their center focus. And I don't disagree with that logic, by the way.
Well, yeah, but I think that logic plays in March, April, March and April. Once you've already drafted these guys, then it's just, well, see if anybody can do anything. And if those guys, like, if you get 6 games into the season and those guys aren't kicking down the door, well, are you putting them out there because you have to find out what you have in them, or are you putting them out there because they actually have earned it?
Yeah, so you're going into the actual season where we're playing things out a little bit differently. I'm staying with here right now where it's like if you project out who could have a chance to one day be that guy, and as of right now, I mean, Shedeur gives you your best opportunity of becoming the franchise quarterback.
I think anybody on this roster has to earn the right to prove that. And I do feel like where you and I think are simpatico, I don't necessarily trust Kevin Stefanski to do that in a authentic way, because I think he might be a little bit in self-preservation mode, and I think he might be thinking, well, I think I can win now with Joe instead of maybe win by week eight with one of the rookies. But yeah, I mean, I think, and also I think he's maybe weighted his rookie competition in the favor of one guy as opposed to the other, which I don't know makes a lot of sense other mm-hmm. than I just like that quarterback, but that is how the NFL works sometimes. But I guess my thing is if any of these guys having a chance to be a franchise quarterback or even an decent starter, if that's the only way you view this, that's not how most NFL teams go into a season.
No, but that is the goal. I mean, that should be the big picture goal of all of these NFL teams, because if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're just dead in the water, and you're consistently dead in the water.
But that doesn't mean any of these guys are even equipped to start.
Well, it doesn't mean any of them are going to be a franchise quarterback either, but if you're weighing the percentages of who would actually give you that opportunity or give you that chance to be that one day, as low as that is, again, Joe Flacco is not going to be that. He's not here after this season. I don't believe Kenny Pickett can be that. As of right now, I don't believe Dylan Gabriel could be that either. Like, Shador is your highest percentage chance of that happening, even if the percentage is only, let's say, 5 to 10%.
I think the Browns might flip that, by the way. I think the Browns might think, franchise quarterback, we believe in Dylan Gabriel because they drafted him first. We think he gives us the better chance.
Yeah, and if the Browns do believe that, again, that's just where me and the Browns just don't see eye to eye, and we haven't with Dylan Gabriel the entire time. If they believe that Dylan Gabriel, though, has a 10% chance of being their franchise quarterback, then they have to find out what he can do on the field. They have to put him out there on the field and see what he can do. Even if it is just that 5 to 10%, you're at least giving yourself a real opportunity there.
The only thing I would say is I think it's much more likely that none of these four quarterbacks amount to much from here out. I mean, Joe's already done a lot in his career. Kenny Pickett has done a couple things, but I think the margins you're playing with is, I would say, like, all right, what are the percentage chance these guys even lock down the job for more than 10 weeks this year? Joe Flacco, maybe a 25% chance. Kenny Pickett, 3% chance. Dylan Gabriel, if he starts week one, maybe a 5% chance. And then Shador, probably a 5% chance. Like, I think if Nick is just thinking about this just from the pure franchise quarterback perspective, I think you're already focusing on the wrong question. These guys have so many bars to pass just in terms of, like, can you be playable before we even get to anything beyond, like, the franchise quarterback?
But playable isn't going to get them anywhere long term, because playable, what happens with playable is then that we're in the draft next year for a quarterback anyway.
Yeah, but I think I also, but speaking of the, how many quarterbacks actually prove within a one-year silo that they're franchise quarterbacks? That's so rare. I mean, Justin Herbert is 5 years into his career, and I don't know if he's just a really nice quarterback that throws a pretty ball.
The
Jaden Daniels
of the world is very, very, it doesn't happen all the time.
Well, but I think that's
doesn't happen all the time.
That's why the franchise quarterback, I don't want to say it's insincere because I think it's an interesting thought exercise.
I mean, again, it's not like he's putting it at 75% either. He's putting it in and of itself, if you say 5 to 10% like he did, and you're still giving that a very minuscule attempt of happening, but it's much higher than the 0% chance that Flacco or Pickett or Gabriel bring.
But is that the lens that a one season, like the 1 year silo, is that really the question the Browns are trying to answer? Or are they just trying to get anything at quarterback? Because I would imagine as random as these four darts are, it just seems like they're seeing if anything will stick, and then we'll talk about the franchise quarterback at a later date.
And maybe you end up being right on that. Maybe it is just trying to see if anything will stick. What I thought about the four quarterback approach, though, was that idea is that they were trying, and I didn't think this with Flacco, but with the other three quarterbacks, I think it was a dart at a dartboard type of situation where we can just throw as many opportunities as we can at it. Maybe one of them will stick. And then you go into next year and you don't have to use the first round pick on a quarterback. You can use it on something else. Again, as a minuscule of an opportunity as that eventually seems like it could be.
216-474-0092. Is the goal of this season to find out if any of these four quarterbacks can be a franchise quarterback, or is the goal to get through 17 games with these four quarterbacks, or one, two, three, or four of these quarterbacks? Let's go with Big Sherm is actually calling in about a can't miss buffet. Mm. All right, you've piqued my interest and my appetite, Big Sherm.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
So, first off, I call you guys the Jersey Boys. Do you know why?
I don't.
Nick and Jonathan. NJ, New Jersey. Anyways.
Oh.
Okay. So the sense. Can't miss, you should try. When you say buffet, I think of brunch buffet automatically.
Oh.
Obviously, in Cleveland, Pier W is known as well for for one of theirs, but this one I found is you can't miss. You got to try it. Sunday, 10 to 3, I should be the unpaid spokesperson, which I am. It's called Aviator. It's the old Bombardier.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, it's so good. Have you been to the brunch on a Sunday?
Actually, I have. Oddly enough, yes, I have. Yeah, it's a good place.
Unbelievable. I think they didn't make a dollar on me. Nick, it's $65, which sounds expensive, but I think I ate $65 worth of shrimp.
Oh, I could.
So, yeah, shrimp is the one food. Shrimp is the one food that I really do feel like the other day we were making jokes about me walking.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Because I feel like I could walk just forever. Shrimp is the type of food I feel like I could just eat an endless amount of.
I feel that way about most food.
Yeah, okay.
Oreos, I think I could eat an endless amount of those.
Might be the only shrimp. Food I feel that way. That like every other food I get to a limit, but with shrimp I could just go to house on shrimp.
I can say steak too.
Like, oh no, I can't. No, that's the thing about steak is like you have one steak and you're filled. That's like that's it. We're good. I did it. I did the steak. I love steak. Steak's one of my favorites.
Hard no.
What I love about steak though is I'm never like, can I make this thing twice as big? And I want three of them.
So
I got like one steak. I'm good.
So at the cabin, when there's multiple fillets left, multiple picanha. Left. The two people who do the cleanup work are myself, and I'm a gigantic human being, and my buddy Jeremy, who I believe weighs $165. And it is the funniest thing to watch two humans on the opposite end. He's like a runner. He's all like very, very, very good health, and we just pound. I mean,
you pound
three. I mean, just
you guys pound
annihilate.
Your boy took a pounding,
3 pounds of steak, if necessary.
Yeah, I get one steak, I'm good. I'm good. That's what I love about steak.
I've never said that in Chinese to me. That's how like little I understand.
Have you ever gone to a restaurant and ordered a second steak?
No, because they're $65 each. But if I cook those bad boys,
okay.
I will.
You become a billionaire. That's your first move as a billionaire. Is like all I want to do is go to a restaurant and just be like, can I have a second? Can I have a second of that fillet? I have one. I'm good.
Why did Nick buy 4 skirt steaks to marinate for carne asada? Because your boy needs a little bit more meat. 216-474-0092.
Hello, sports fan.
What is the goal of the Browns quarterback situation here? Tony, Adam, you guys stick there. More on this in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You are the leader of the shebandwagon, as it were. Mm. Was that what we called it? Was it a shapasi?
We've never called it a shapasi.
I don't think
we've ever called it a shebandwagon either.
Shebandwagon? I know.
We're having a good time, but I don't know that we've ever done that.
How are we feeling where it sure seems like the Browns are trying to get Dillon Gabriel ready to play, even if it's not week one, that they're really giving him a real chance here to open up on his side of the competition?
Well, so I feel like the Shador plan is kind of playing out the way that if you are a believer, you should be pretty excited. Not given him many opportunities, but what has he done? Day in, day out, he's shown why he should be given more and more opportunities. And today he got a chance to actually go up against the number one defense for the first time. Like you're giving him more and more. And I get the infatuation with Dillon Gabriel. At least it appears to be the infatuation with Dillon Gabriel. But I watched him play football. I'm not worried about it. I don't think he's going to actually win out the deal when it's all said and done.
I think you should be worried about it because I think they're going to do everything to give Dillon a chance and keep letting Shador take his baby steps.
I don't understand why they would rush Dillon Gabriel or at least give Dillon Gabriel every opportunity under the sun if it becomes painfully obvious. And maybe it's not yet, but if it starts to continue down the road that it has, that Shador is just playing pretty good football day in, day out. And Dillon comes with, hey, that was one really good throw. Like today at the 40-yarder. But before that, Zach Jackson was tweeting out that it was like Dillon Gabriel's throws are all over the place. Like it's too inconsistent for my taste.
Well, but okay. So it's Shador being put in position short term to build some confidence. I think that's where maybe the context is missing on some of this is like, I think a lot of the stuff they're giving Shador, even the ones today, is about they feel like they want to build his confidence. That's at least the messaging out there. And then with Dillon, they're more comfortable to let him, I don't want to say fail, but to let him learn on the fly.
Well, if that's the case, then it's going better for Shador Sanders than a lot of people first anticipated because everyone looked at it like Shador was being buried.
Kenny Pickett's injury, was.
So if I believe what you're saying, though, taking it slow with him is a way of almost saying, like, we're trying to protect you and save you. Whereas with Dillon, it's like, hey, we'll see what you have. We'll throw you out there. And then if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
I mean, no,
I look at it a little bit differently. By the way,
I think they just think Dylan's farther ahead and that Dylan doesn't need the baby steps. I mean, again, I think the way they've handled Shador in a lot of ways is a little infantilizing and a little, like, if I was Shador, I would be a little embarrassed by it. But I mean, I just think, I think all things are pointing to, I think Dylan's got a decent chance of starting week one, which I did not think a week ago.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I think Shador doesn't have a chance in hell.
Oh, at I, this think, point, I think if he
that
keeps,
can change, but I
think if he keeps playing the way that he has, I think he's got just as much of a chance as Dylan does. No. I don't think either rookie has much of a chance at the end of the day.
Oh, I think that's like changed. I think the Pickett injury opened up the opportunity for the rookies, which in fairness, Shador, with the limited stuff he's getting, is still, I think, doing everything he's being asked of. But I mean, I think they're throwing more at Dylan, and I think they're doing that in a way. Like, I want to say it was Daryl said something about this, and I really paid attention because Daryl and I talked about this last week of the idea of you got to get him ready to play. I really think they're only doing that with one of these guys.
Yeah, but it'd be different if I thought Dylan was passing every test right now, and I just don't see that.
Well, but you, so passing the test isn't just looking good. It's are you learning from your mistake? This is where, and this is in fairness, there are two different bars to clear here. There is Dylan has to, we just got to keep moving along, little buckaroo. Show that you're getting acclimated and comfortable. Shador's got to, like, pass the test that he's even ready to get to that point. Like, I think they're taking right. two very different tests, so their definition of what Dylan's passing the test is and Shador's are wildly different.
Well, I think it'll be much easier for Dylan to be able to pass that test if he showcases what he can do. In the early portion, and we've been through 7 days now, maybe this will turn, but it feels like day in, day out, Shador's having these nice days and he's performing. And when we talk about Dylan Gabriel, it's like he has some days where he seems awesome. And then he has other days where it's like, where did this come from and what happened?
I need you to mentally prepare for that there's a decent chance that Dylan Gabriel
starts.
I'll
tell you, I'll mentally prepare for it, and I'll mentally prepare to be very disappointed when he gets on the field, too. But I'll mentally prepare for it. The problem that I have right now and where I'm getting a little agitated in the big picture of things, and I see where this is going. Shador has been asked to be given more and more after starting from the very, very bottom, and so far he's been passing the test. And I'm worried we're going to wake up 2 or 3 weeks from now. This will still be good for Shador that he's getting more opportunities and he's showcasing at every step that he can do it. Where I'm going to get agitated is the people that are like, see, the Browns did it the right way with him. They treated Shador with baby gloves, kid gloves, and he was able to come along nicely. And it's because of the process that Kevin Stefanski put him through. That's why they're having success while completely blowing right past the idea that Shador shouldn't have been starting up against, you know, fourth team defensive players and everything else.
So here's the thing. I think you're going to be right, but not in the way you think you're going to be right. I think if either rookie start, it's going to be week one, it's going to be Dylan Gabriel. But I think if Dylan gets through that first 6 to 8 weeks and there's just no defense, he looks like a rookie. He looks like the guy that is getting his passes knocked down and can't open up passing lanes with his feet, like all those kind of things. I think then they'll go to Shador, and conveniently, this is ultimately in your best interest because you are part of the Shahive. That's right. What it was, Shahive.
And we want to see Shador play football.
Then they could go to Shador, and if he has success, it'll be like, well, this is why we baby stepped him.
I mean, it's where I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get angry at that idea that, like, Stefanski and everyone around them will be like, yeah, so we treated him the right way. That was good. But what we did there was the only way he was going to succeed is if we did it this way, and it's just not true.
I think at this point, I don't know, listen, I still think they're going to be 3 or 4 quarterbacks at play this year. But I think at this point, you can't have your cake and eat it too if you're part of the Shahive. I think you should feel grateful if this guy even sees the field.
Well, so what happens with Joe Flacco if Dylan Gabriel wins the job?
I think Joe becomes the backup.
You think Joe signs up for that where he just holds the clipboard?
Yeah, it's either that or you go home.
I think he might just go home.
I think that's I know Joe has kind of let it be known, like, he came back because he still thinks he's got a lot of the tank and whatnot. Nah. With love and respect, you can either collect your $5 to $10 million this year, or you can go home and wait for somebody to call you, and that might not happen when you're 40 and got beat out by Dylan Gabriel.
If I'm Joe, I could live it out if I don't win this job. Because, like, by all accounts, it feels as if Joe thinks that he was promised something in starting week one.
But Joe's also a big boy. He's been around the league for a very long time.
Yeah, but does he want to hang around? And listen, I mean, I'm a guy for, I can understand cashing checks. But at the end of the day, he's like, they're paying me $4 million to sit around and cash a check. I can get behind that as the reason why. But if not starting, sitting there and just waiting. And then even if Dylan starts, the backup opportunity, like if he gets injured, it's not going to be Joe. It'd be Shador that goes in.
Yeah, I don't even know about that. I think the number one takeaway that I have is through 7 days, man, do they believe in Dylan Gabriel, damn the results, and they are trying to get him ready to play soon. Whether that's week one or not is kind of up to Dylan and whatever their bar for him is. But I think Dylan might end up have been, like, I think everybody kind of benefited in one way or another from Kenny getting injured, because it opened up more reps for Shador. I think it also opened up more reps for Joe Flacco, by the way, to get him ready for the regular season. I think it also took some of the pressure off the absolutely fake four-man quarterback derby and what became a three-man quarterback derby very quickly. But I don't know anybody benefited more than Dylan Gabriel. I think it is amazing how much they really want him to play and how much they believe in his readiness, despite everybody at camp being like, yeah, all the things that people said he would struggle with in the NFL, he's struggling with right now.
I mean, just once, I'd love to have somebody believe in me the way that apparently the Browns believe in Dylan Gabriel. It is an unreal level of belief right now, and I have no proof as to why.
And because they liked him. Like, they liked him in the pre-draft process.
Doesn't that sound stubborn, though? When everyone is at these camps being like it's a mixed bag of sorts, he just kind of looks, he has some really good throws, but he has some throws where it's like, what happened here?
I mean,
and he also, his height does get in the way where he has passes knocked down like he did with Shelby Harris today.
I mean, confirmation bias is real. Like, just because the Browns went to Ivy League schools doesn't mean they're not akin to the same thing everybody has, which is confirmation bias. I like the kid. He's doing well in practice. Oh, we're throwing a lot at him to see if he's ready. Like,
right, but then the thing you've been arguing for this entire time is like, give us a real, fair, actual quarterback battle. Then we're definitely not getting that if that's the case.
Oh, I've absolutely set sail on the idea that that's happening. Yeah. No. When Shador was throwing to equipment managers, and Joe was standing off to the side watching Kenny Pickett get picked.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, at least we got on the same page that if the deck is stacked against Shador, he's playing a rigged game of cards right now. Then okay.
So
then I just have to brace for that reality and accept it for what it is.
What's different now? And again, this could be prisoner of the moment. I'm willing to admit to that. But what's different is it felt like the deck was stacked for three quarterbacks. Now, I think the deck is stacked for one quarterback, and I think it's Dylan Gabriel. I think in the hopes, wishes, and dreams of this organization, if he could snag the week one start, they would look at that as some sort of a meaning. Like, if he could actually earn it, I think they would look at this as a massive victory for them and their offseason plan and the idea to take two quarterbacks and all that.
As of right now, we can only go off of what we've seen over the first 7 days or so. And I think you're right in your assessment of it, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. And it doesn't mean I can't be infuriated by it.
Yeah. And my number one thing I want to see is, can you run a legitimate quarterback search and let each guy determine their own fate? And they've done that Kenny's injury might have determined his fate, but they've done it for three of the four quarterbacks. So on some level, it is disingenuous. The same as, he's a work in progress. He's a rookie quarterback. So is Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel's also a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But treating him as if he's a developmental quarterback, when, by the way, like Shador's history, his skill set more fits the system than Dylan Gabriel. I think it was, who do we have on Friday? Oh, Orlovsky. No, when Orlovsky was like, I don't think Dylan really fits the Stefanski offense as much. He's better out of the shotgun. That was like, the guy didn't even, like, so much of what we know about Kevin is, if you fit what I want to do and you just shut up and take the on-schedule throws and take what the defense gives you and your limited talent, I'll love you forever. Dylan didn't even fit that part and parcel.
That's part of what makes it so confusing to me. I mean, how many times have you heard me be like, Shador fits exactly what Stefanski would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's accurate as hell. He's going to be able to find the open receivers that Stefanski schemes open. Like, he can do short yardage passing like you wouldn't believe. Like, it's just so much of it works, and it just seems like Stefanski's ignoring it right now.
216-474-0092. Is Dylan Gabriel pushing for the week one starting job? I don't know if he's pushing or if he's being pushed. And I do think that is a development from the Kenny Pickett injury, because it became, well, okay, we can't get that guy who we believe in ready. Let's get this guy. And again, it doesn't mean he'll ultimately start week one, but maybe if they get him enough reps, they might feel comfortable pulling that escape chute on Joe Flacco earlier.
Little disappointment out of yesterday's camp, by the way. I was expecting Shador to be out there like 45 minutes after practice, because every camp, it seems like he's been hanging out past the expected date and time and just kind of throwing to anybody that'll pay attention. And I was expecting that. And apparently he worked out well before the practice. So I missed opportunity, and I didn't get to see him just kind of showcasing that work ethic that we've been hearing all about.
I felt so bad for you on Friday, because Friday he came over to sign right next to our tent there. He walked across to talk to a couple people. And I was like, Peterlin would be out there. He'd be bird dogging right now.
We would have loved it.
And just went like, JP, number one of the Shahive here. Just want to let you know, big fan.
I was with G. Bush yesterday, too. So he probably would have came over and dapped us up, because, you know, that's two people of the Shahive that we've been running with. But I did get to watch Dylan Gabriel do his best Forrest Gump impression. He was running.
If we're doing Forrest Gump impression,
he was just doing straight 40-yard runs.
If we're doing Forrest Gump impression, Joe Flacco running with robot arms the other day it was straight out of the Alabama Forrest Gump scene where he's just running down the field with his arms, but like it was full Forrest. 216-474-0092 is Dylan Gabriel pushing for the Week 1 starting job. It sure seems like the Browns are allowing that opportunity to transpire. Brandon Thorne of Trench Warfare talks about the expectations for DeJuan Jones switching to left tackle this year in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, but is it fair to say, because Shador hasn't gotten any reps with the ones, I know he's getting some of the twos now, but is it fair to say, as you're trying to get this quarterback situation narrowed down here, you get deeper into camp, and he hasn't gotten reps now, he probably won't get any?
Yeah, I'm not going to get in specifics on the players and, you know, where they're getting reps and those type of things. He's working extremely hard, like all those guys are. We're still not yet through the installation schedule. We're still just introducing 2 minute yesterday. We'll introduce some different distances today, situationally. So I wouldn't really think much past that.
See, that's why Daryl's one of the best in the business. Did you text him to ask him that question?
I didn't. No.
So he was just listening before, and he goes, all right, I'm going to ask him.
I would never tell Daryl or any of those esteemed journalists. You've got award winners there. Mary Kay Cabot. Are you kidding me? I love that guy. I would never tell them or even suggest to them.
I could hug Daryl right now.
How to do their job. But it just so happens that exactly what we had been talking about here on 92.3 The Fan, our Browns beat reporter on 92.3 The Fan steps up. He didn't ask.
Daryl didn't ask
about any quarterbacks next year that might be in the draft.
He didn't ask about any quarterbacks here in the next 2 years. He asked about a quarterback right here in this organization right now. Right here, right now. That's what Daryl did. That's what separates Daryl Ryder. I'm going to get to another point here in a second. However, Daryl's great. I have to come out and admit, you guys, I have to get both sides of this. You argue that it's an impossible argument. It's fruitless. I don't know what we're actually accomplishing by it. But you say, well, he needs first team reps. And I said, where does it prove that he needs first team reps? I can't say he doesn't. I won't say he doesn't now, because I don't know what he's done. I don't know that he hasn't done well. And then if I tell fans all the time, they have zero right to expect you to trust them. Zero. 3-14, they're under 500 as a group now. They have zero right to just expect you to trust them. They don't get that benefit of the doubt. So if you don't trust them, how am I to know that they're making the right decisions with Shador? The only thing I can say is that they didn't just draft him to kill his confidence. They're not trying to hurt his confidence. I think that there are a lot of people that they are working with right now, and you only get so much time actually out there on the field, courtesy of the CBA. And I do think that they are, and this is where the off-season stuff was so important, and he was starting behind. They are trying to win football games. Now, you guys don't care about winning football games. You've made it very clear to me, even though fans were chanting for Joe Flacco.
I did hear that.
When he came out.
I did hear.
He would give you the best chance to win right now. But you guys are all telling me that you don't care about winning football games this year. So
here's some Joe Flacco love.
No, they won't be back out there. Yeah. That group.
Kevin, for Luke Fourier,
flag, go, flag, go, tryout go, guy, go. Mm-hmm. Minicamp tryout guy, mm-hmm. to this opportunity. What?
Look at laser focus Kevin Stefanski.
Boom.
He's getting grilled. Meanwhile, they're having a party out there.
He's
for Joe
lasers,
Flacco.
Man. He's all lasers.
Kevin, for Luke Fourier to go for a rookie tryout guy, mm-hmm. minicamp tryout guy, mm-hmm. to this opportunity.
What? Now, is that coming from the wide receiver room? Was that Jerry Jeudy and
Jamari Thrash and Deontay Johnson, Luke Fourier?
I heard Jamari.
Kevin, for Luke Fourier to go for a rookie tryout guy, mm-hmm. minicamp tryout guy, mm-hmm. to this opportunity. What?
Who else?
Was that Sal Canella?
Yes, he got it right.
Was that Keyshawn Johnson?
How do you spell that?
Which don't one? Know. Was that D'Artagnan Tinsley? Well, okay, D'Artagnan Tinsley's a backup left guard. Was
Wait,
that
that's a real name?
Amani Martin. Yeah, it's
I
real.
I thought he went Key and Peele. I swear to God.
Backup left guard? Where's he from?
He is from
Murray State.
Hold on. It's in the state of Ohio.
Jack Marius.
No, it's he's Pat from he's from Cincinnati. He's from Cincinnati. D'Artagnan.
Kevin, for Luke Fourier to go for
Michael's from Pittsburgh.
Go. Minicamp tryout guy. Mm-hmm.
By way of Delaware. That's then right. By way of Berea. He took the long route to Berea. Only took
Michael's
him 20 years.
From Jersey, Philly.
I want to ask you if Shador's the only quarterback you really care about. Lima says, Lima was willing to admit he was the only quarterback he really cares about. Do you guys really only care about Shador Sanders? But you just be honest with me. That's fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong. First of all, it's one thing to just have a guy you root for. We've done that. My God, the Hoyer Manziel circus.
But ultimately,
where they tore the fan base apart.
Can you define care about more?
Well, like, if any of them got hurt personally, like, you can always be a human and be like, I feel bad for that guy. I mean, care about, like, how well they're doing. That's what I mean by care about.
He's the one. He's the first one. I'm searching his name all these camp days to see the throws, to see the highlight reels. I'm going to him first. And the reason I'm doing that is because I just flat out think he can be better than the other guys. And even if he's not, like, I think his ceiling is just so much higher than Dylan Gabriel. Sorry. Kenny Pickett.
Well,
sorry.
Joe Flacco's 40. Kenny Pickett is right now and also ran, and he's also hurt. Dylan Gabriel. Here's James Rapine on Dylan Gabriel. James Rapine, Locked On Bengals, as well as Sports Illustrated. Who would you start if you were the Cleveland Browns? Who would you start at quarterback?
Shador Sanders.
Week one?
Whoa!
Well, for sure, week one. But
whoa!
Can we start by giving him some first-team reps?
No,
I mean, what the hell are you drafting him for if you're not going to give him a few reps with Jerry Jeudy?
I mean, you have him talking about how Ken Wyman doesn't care about Dylan Gabriel, doesn't think that he's going to be a good quarterback. I mean, these guys are ripping on him where it's almost to the point of it's not the same because Manziel was such a goof and Justin Gilbert ended up being a goof. I don't think that Dylan Gabriel is going to be a goof. But if you're looking at guys who are not very good, like Shador Sanders could always end up being an also-ran and a nothing in his own right. But if Dylan Gabriel ends up being an also-ran and a nothing, it's like, man, you took Dylan Gabriel in the third round? You really need to do that? Like, so many people do believe he's overdrafted. We can all be honest about, when it comes to caring about how they're doing, it'd be great if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and plays well. Hey, man, that'd be great. That's fine. But I think everybody to a man believes, or the most of the people believe, that Shador Sanders is the one with the higher ceiling. He's the one that does have some star power. We can all be honest with ourselves. Dylan Gabriel's the one, or Shador Sanders is the one that we really want to see how he does. Care about's a strong word, but we got to say he's the one that we care about. Shador's the one that we care about.
Eric on X says, Daryl told Jake on overtime last night he was going to ask the question, and my man came through.
Well done there, Daryl. Well done. Now, it doesn't mean that Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel can't be not the one we want, but the one we needed. We could find that out in a couple of years. But Shador right now, he's the one we want. That's all there is to it. Now, I'm not trying to hurry him up on first-team reps, but damn it, I can't make an argument against first-team reps.
Do you think he'll get any this week?
In practice?
Yeah.
It's already Wednesday.
Yeah.
They practice
They're
again
off tomorrow.
They're off tomorrow and they practice Friday.
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, maybe they'll get something on Friday. They'll get something on Friday.
I'm seeing video of Shador 40 minutes before practice doing a little bit of the Dak dance.
Oh, activating his hips?
Yeah, and he's throwing a ball against the field goal.
216-474-0092. Is Shador the only one you really care about finding out about? I don't think that that's what this season's all about. That's why when people say, well, with MJ Emerson, what does it matter? There's still guys, if you are even the worst Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry critic, if you really don't think that they're any good whatsoever, there still has to be a tinge in you that wants to see what MJ Emerson was going to do this year, whether or not he's going to be the future. There has to be a tinge in you, just like how many people like DeJuan Jones out there? Probably 9 out of 10 Browns fans like DeJuan Jones and the other one's a Michigan fan. If you like DeJuan Jones and you do, then you want to see how DeJuan Jones was doing this year. So DeJuan Jones, right now healthy, thank God. Hopefully he'll continue to stay that way this year. We'll see what he has. I mean, you could have still came out of the season. Yeah, you could think that they're not going to win many games. They're going to be a 4-5 win football team. But if those guys do well, it's like, okay, pay them and let's keep them and let's see what they do with somebody else. Let's see what they do with a different regime. I think that's perfectly fair and fine to say. And for Shador, I think it's perfectly fair to go, you want this season to stand for something. Remember we were having that argument earlier this morning? When was it? Was that 7:20? Was that 7:20? Yeah, that was 7:20. The Stephen Kwan, Emmanuel Clase argument. You want the season to stand for something. You want it to be worth your while. So if you guys, like when we were arguing about the Guardians, you can go back, 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app. You can go back and listen to that argument where I was saying, man, it starts in the wintertime where if you're not going to add to it, you better figure out a way to make this thing better for the future. And if you're just playing out the string, people are going to be upset. Okay, if you're not going to add to the Browns right now with anything that's tangibly like a number one overall pick, this guy's going to be bona fide, boom, bust, whatever. If you're not going to do that, then the season better stand for something. So probably the season stands for the guy who has a high ceiling and a lot of questions and people want him answered. Because even if you hate him, and there's fans out there that do and hate it when we talk about Shador Sanders. Hate it. You're still curious. You still, if you think that he's terrible, you want to win the argument. Because it's nothing for you to think, hey, they're not going to be that good anyway. What the hell? And then you can quote unquote root for a real quarterback in the future. You still want to see it. 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to you guys. Is Shador the only quarterback you really care about out of this mix? One's old. One is a journeyman. One is arguably overdrafted. The other one, big ceiling. Major star.
And Daryl brought up something interesting. And with Michael Woods now being released, the injury designation, it's interesting to see the Browns, like he was a draft pick, right? Sixth round pick. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. By the way, if anything happens to baseball trade deadline, especially regarding the Guardians, we will break into anything else that we're talking about, and that will take over the conversation. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
And at 1 o'clock, who's joining us?
Oh.
Our buddy.
Our good friend, Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, local guy. So he'll join us coming up, and we'll get the lowdown from him. I'm sure he'll have maybe some backstories and find out something else that's going on. Hopefully we'll get some info from him at 1 o'clock. All right, so let's go back, and I just want to talk about the wide receiver situation. And, you know, you brought it up that you've got some young guys that are pushing the envelope that are under 6 foot.
Well, they're under 5'10".
Okay, well, I'm just trying to... You know, in a Ray Farmer offense, that's killer, isn't it?
Wow.
I mean, he likes short receivers.
Wow.
Is that not, am I saying something that wasn't true?
Wow.
Am I saying something that is not true?
All I know is that right now the Browns have 3 wide receivers on their roster who are listed at 5'8". That's too many.
If you can catch... And you can get in the end zone. I don't really care.
I didn't say you shouldn't have them. I just said it's too many. And if you're going to use DeAndre Carter strictly as a return guy and not at wide receiver, then you have Luke Floria and Gage Larvadane fighting it out for a spot. And Andy, maybe both of those guys are able to get on the practice squad. That'd be awesome. I mean,
so you're saying they're in trouble if they both end up on the regular roster as backups?
what would you think of a wide receiver crew? And Daryl said five guys. Well, if they only have five guys, and there's no way that the two young guys would both make the roster. It just wouldn't happen. I mean, think about it. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson, and two undrafted 5'8 guys? That's not happening.
I guess it's the it depends how you look at the guy who's 6'4 and 6'3 that can catch the ball.
I'm all for a 5'8 guy. That's just fine. I just don't need two or three of them.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I like my wide receivers more than 6 foot. I'm just saying. In fact, I like them closer to 6'1", 6'2".
I like 6'3", 6'4", guys who weigh about 230.
All right, well, I'll give you those. And we call them, and what does this team call them, though? This team has those receivers. They're called tight ends.
You have Cedric Tillman. I like Cedric, man. I'm so hopeful for him. 6'3", 215, by the way. And you know who else, Andy, who is an interesting guy? And this is going to sound nasty, and I don't mean it to. I don't want him to fall into the Michael Woods category.
Okay.
Jamari Thrash. And Jamari had some
Jamari's
moments.
Jamari's not in, there, though.
Well, no, this is the category I mean.
Okay.
And don't forget Michael Woods, too. Right now, it's like, hey, you got three wide receivers. Nobody's talking about Jamari Thrash. Jamari has some ability. You know, I thought he did if you look at video of him from Louisville when he was in college, and I have, man, he was tough. Now that's in college. He was tough. And I hope he can become clearly the fourth wide receiver, and not just to fill a roster spot, but to contribute, be a real contributor. And don't count him out. I think he has some ability. I really do.
Here's the issue I have, and it's pro football focus, right? So you automatically, you look at your wide receiving core, and you're like, oh, I wonder about Tillman, and is Deontay Johnson going to be able to be anything? And Jerry Jeudy, I feel good about him, right? And so you look at it, and I that's probably a pretty fair assessment of the way Browns fans look at your top three wide receivers. And then you go to look to see how the rest of the world looks at your team, and you go to Pro Football Focus, and they're telling you that the Browns have the 32nd best wide receiving core in the league. That's kind of a hard pill to swallow.
Ahead of who, Andrew?
That would be Ohio State. No, they're not. Ohio State's ahead of them.
Trust that's not the case.
To be honest with you, Ohio State is better.
I'll trade them right now. Position group for position group. Let's go. Get Smith in here. Let's go right now.
You say Ohio State, and you want that to be a joke, but it's not. You would take Ohio State's wide receiving core over the Browns,
probably only because of the potential of Jeremiah Smith. All right, move along. Let's not go off on that tangent. No, come back, Andy.
No, I'm already
come
there.
Come back, Andy. He's already going to the keyboard, folks.
I've just
come back. Come back.
No, I don't want to come back.
Come back.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith alone just make me think. And Brandon Ennis, we'll see.
Plus, they signed Christian Henry, didn't they? Kid coming in. Didn't they? Big-time recruit.
Stop. Why are you putting me through this misery? Why are we going through this misery? Yeah. Thanks for the misery. Is there any hope with that? I don't want to be down on the wide receiving core.
No.
I want to believe that quarterbacks can make wide receiving cores better, but we don't really have a quarterback right now, so I can't have that. I feel good about our tight ends. Okay. Yay. Is that enough to win games?
Well, you know what concerns me more than all of our talk? Daryl saying how poor the offense has looked in camp so far.
Yeah,
not getting the ball in the end zone. As Daryl said, they're getting into the end zone on plays that don't get finished. What does that mean? It means where, you know, that thud thing, right? We're just going thud today. So in other words, we've hit you, but we're not allowed to bring you to the ground, and we're going to let you go, and then you run to the end zone. Okay, thanks. That's not a touchdown.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones. I mean, everyone that's practicing now, from NFL to CYO, they're all doing thud tackling. They should be doing thud. Probably the CYO is probably doing the most tackling of all, let's be honest. they probably tackle more now during practice than any other level of sports. I just don't know how to look at the wide receiving core other past Jerry Jeudy. Sorry. I'm
hopeful for Cedric Tillman. I really am.
But you're sitting here on hope.
You know what I'm sitting here on? Hmm. I'm sitting here on a small sample size.
Who will have more yards, Tillman or Deontay Johnson this year?
That's a great question. Tillman.
I'm going to go Johnson.
Okay.
I think as long as everything goes forward for Deontay Johnson and he likes playing here, they put him in a winning position that we're not seeing any of the, you know, he said, again, try to forget about the last year. Okay. I'm trying to do that. If he, you know, he puts his nose to the ground and plays, first of all, he could have giant money on the other side of this, right?
Nose to the ground?
Yeah, I don't know. With a ball? What do you, nose to the grindstone?
Is he a dog?
Why would you say that? That's not what I was saying.
That's good here in Cleveland.
Well, I want if he works hard and just does what, just
that'd be,
catch
that'd
the
be
football,
a grindstone.
That's what I said. I made
you
up for it on
the back.
Nose
to the ground. You came back. I got you. I had your back.
I came back and said, I'm sorry, I meant nose to the grindstone. And by the way, who puts noses to the grindstone anyway?
That would just rip that thing off.
Yeah, why would you
ever do that?
Like, what is the origin?
I mean, you get a scab on that thing, then it's, you know, you need sunscreen forever.
It is
you
a pretty ridiculous.
Wear one of those little things over your nose.
I want him to work hard and just play football. How's that sound? And be a great football player like we think he can be.
And when I said Tillman, by the way, it wasn't because I'm down on Deontay Johnson. I like Deontay circa Pittsburgh 4 years ago. I do. I thought he was really a nice receiver. It's about my optimism about Cedric Tillman. I honestly, Andy, my fingers are crossed. If crossing my fingers works and Deontay Johnson does what he has done in the league and Cedric Tillman does what he did in short sample sizes with throwing quarterbacks over the last couple of years, I think the Browns wide receivers will be pretty good. And then you add a little depth. And hopefully Jamari Thrash is that guy. And that gives you four. So I can see a path to having four pretty good wide receivers. And I can see a path to having one.
By the way, nose to the grindstone origin.
Good Lord, man.
Is the practice of knife grinders.
Meredith.
Who need to bend over the stone or even lie flat on their fronts to sharpen their blades in order to hold knives against their stone.
Meredith, take the keyboard away from
it. It also means working extremely hard.
I would try, but I think it's attached to the desk.
I had some knives sharpened the other day, a set of steak knives.
So wait a second. You want me to get off of the definition of something that we both said multiple times, and now you have a knife story for us.
$6.
Only Jeff Phelps.
It was $6 a knife or a dozen knives. I thought, what? I needed to ask the price first.
When's the last time you've had to have a pair of skates sharpened?
Since I've never owned skates, I'll say
and then
say
when
never.
You have three pairs of skates that have to get sharpened because dad's got to join in the group.
Hockey boy, you know how many times I've been on skates in my life?
I'm going to say zero.
Once.
Once.
Yeah.
And how was it?
I was terrible, obviously.
Well, if you would have got and tried it a second time, you may not have been terrible.
I just wanted to tell you, I was done.
When it comes to skating, and I want you to look me straight in the eye, I'm going to tell you how this works. It's about the process. You just have to keep on doing it. Mason is in Lakewood. Hello, Mason. How are you?
Hi, Mason.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yep, awesome. I was a first-time caller. I've never done this, so this is pretty exciting.
Well, we are proud of you, Mason. We will be nice.
Pumped.
Thank you. Okay. So I just wanted to pop on here. You guys talking about the Browns receivers. I think we got a long ways to go. And that guy you were talking about on the Buckeyes,
Jeremiah Smith. Yeah.
Yep. Coming out in 2 years. We got two draft picks next year. I was thinking, what if we took another step back next year, traded a couple of picks so that in the following draft, we could pick up Jeremiah Smith, have a stud receiver. Hopefully Shador works out, or Dylan Gabriel. Give me one of the two. I don't care.
Mason, and, you lie. You have called sports. One. Mason, you are lying to us. You have called Sports Talk Radio multiple times because
you laid it all out well.
You are 100% on a great riff right there, and you were ready to go.
Way to go, Mason.
I am super proud of you, man.
Call back.
Thank you. Love Mason. You guys. You guys are great. Listen 24/7. You guys are awesome.
There you go, Mason. All right, you got to get a job somewhere in between. Okay? We need you. We need you to make some money so you can afford the radio so you can listen to us. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, thank you, Mason.
I mean, do you really want to do the? Would you rather have Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Innes, or would you rather have the Browns wide receiving corps? Do we want to do that? Tillman, Judy, and Johnson. Oh man, I'd love to have Jeremiah Smith. He's so NFL ready.
Right, oh, he's ready to go now.
216. Sorry, Jeff.
And they're just going to keep going. The kid I mentioned, Chris Henry,
mm-hmm.
and his dad was Chris Henry, who played for the Bengals. He's like the number one recruit in the country at wide receiver, and he's coming in, I think, next year, isn't he?
216. Yeah, no, it's not this year. I don't think
Brian Hartline. Way to go, buddy. Remember when Brian was on our show telling us about the drive-through that he owned in Stark County?
What was it?
He owned a drive-through.
But what drive-through? What, beverage?
Food? Yeah. Oh,
smart man.
Yeah.
So funny. Somehow, some way, people need beverages to drink. And if you don't have to get out of the car to get them, what a great idea.
Dude went from NFL to the drive-through to Ohio State. He'll be a head coach in college if he wants to be.
He will be before you know it. I would predict in the next 3 years
he's
if he wants to.
He's done a great job.
Two, man. 3 years. 2 years. I give him two.
Great job.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Let's get back to the baseball trade deadline. We are watching the minutes click away towards 6 o'clock. What will the Guardians roster look like after 6? They've already made two moves. We'll talk about them again when we come back, but we're all waiting to hear where Stephen Kwan will be playing within 72
tomorrow.
Hours. Either tomorrow or 72 hours, because that's how long you have to report. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.